Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thank you, Toby. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Danny, did you see the video of Joe Burrow throwing baseballs at the Fanatics event over the weekend?
So I thought the thing he was throwing at was about 8 or 9 feet to the left of the Fanatics thing over the weekend.
What I actually thought was he was doing a bit and he was purposefully throwing off to the left, but he was just really terrible at throwing baseballs.
Yeah, he's throwing it like a football where you come around to the side to get a spiral on it, which is a pretty nasty way of throwing it behind the left-handed batter's box.
I still, though, one of those maybe. Just a natural athlete.
10 of them.
He just kept doing it. And it's not like, oh, he threw it off the plate away. Like, he was ripping the ball into the ground off to the left like 4 or 5 times in a row.
It wasn't close.
I can't believe an NFL quarterback is that incapable of throwing a baseball.
It's so different. I'm telling you. The fingers behind the baseball versus on the side, like you're making a C when you're throwing a football. And if you don't do the other, if you never didn't grow up doing the other one or don't do it, it's just, it's different.
So, I understand that.
Okay.
As someone who throws a baseball kind of like I throw a football, and it's always been a problem, he's Joe Burrow. He should,
right.
He should not be
That's a good counter. Yeah.
Of grabbing a baseball and with 10 chucks, getting it 15 feet away to a general area.
Yeah, the first one you go, oh my God, I'm throwing it like a football. I'm throwing a nasty cutter. Let me make my athletic adjustment and fix it. And then he never did, and it was gross.
Wild, man. All right, the Beltway Blitz. We got the Wizards today. They had their first round last night, second round tonight. The Nats, who have made a pretty significant move with their top prospect in the minor leagues and are off tonight ahead of a series tomorrow in Anaheim. And we'll start things off on the gridiron right now with the Defenders. You're wondering, well, they won the title a couple weeks ago, fellas. Why are we talking about them today? Well, their tight end, Ben Bresnahan, was just at Tight End University. He's been hanging out with Travis Kelce and George Kittle and Greg Olsen. And a bunch of the best tight ends in football. And based on social media, I think Taylor Swift was there too, hanging out at the wives and girlfriends dinner before it all started. Ben, thanks for the time, man. Congrats on the championship. How are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, doing really well. Appreciate you having me here today.
I think Tight End University is one of the coolest things ever. I mean, for people that don't know, it's something that's been done by those guys, Kelce and Olsen and Kittle, for years. It's like the dudes that run it, the professors. And then everybody at the tight end position kind of shows up and hangs out and gets better. Give us the behind the scenes, though. What is the experience like?
Yeah, it's actually really great because, you know, for college, I went to Vanderbilt. So I was able to attend a couple years back, but just sit in on meetings. But now getting to the next level and playing professional ball, I'm actually able to do everything that goes into it. So, yeah, like you said, it's a bunch of meetings going on, just kind of bouncing off ideas and some just tips and coaching points from, you know, the best in the game, like you mentioned, Travis and George and Kelce and Evan Ingram actually was able to talk with us too this year. And also have some fun out there too and able to go to concerts. Got to see Taylor Swift up there this year, which is pretty cool. And then a bunch of other artists like Luke Combs was there, Kane Brown, and they were all just hanging out with the boys. So it was awesome.
Wait, so hold on. So was the concert for Tight End U or was it coincidentally in the area? Like what? I saw the videos of the concert and it looked like a small venue. Where was that?
Yeah, so it's called a Brooklyn Bowl here in Nashville, and it's right by the minor league, the Sound Stadium, the baseball stadium here. And it was, yeah, really intimate venue. Kind of they put us all up in the VIP area up top. And I think they said it was like a venue of like 1,200 people. And then we had all of our area up top. We were doing a little bowling, a little getting some new cowboy hats, which was cool. And then able to listen
so you guys
in
just
and all
partying.
Of that.
But I guess what I'm wondering, was Taylor Swift performing there anyway? Or did she perform because you like Travis Kelce's running this event and you guys are there?
Yeah, I don't know the exact plan there. It was interesting because we were all hanging out up top, having, you know, a couple beers and just hanging. And then both, it was her and Luke Combs were up there. And they both like kind of disappeared. So they were like, wait, are they going down to perform right now? A little guest appearance. And then they ended up going down and got some songs in. So, I don't know if it was just spur of the moment thing or just after she had maybe a drink or two, she's all right, let's do it.
That's incredible.
That's very good.
That is awesome. Forgive my ignorance here, Ben, but how does one get invited to tight end you? Obviously, one prerequisite, you play tight end in some capacity, but like how do they decide who gets to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I've had a great relationship now. I mean, through the Vanderbilt connection, mm-hmm. and then like our old receiver, now tight end Jordan Matthews, who's with the Panthers. He like did a great job of helping out George kind of get it to Vandy here in Nashville. And then so I already had that connection, and then now just training with guys here in the Nashville area with Jeremy Holt, trainer, who he trains George, and I work with him some too in off season. They're just kind of connections based thing. And then it's great because there was me and then also Jalen Whittemeyer too, who was with Michigan Panthers this past year. So we had a couple UFO guys who were representing and trying to learn from the best. So
I know one of your teammates has signed a deal with the Patriots. What's the process like now at trying to be seen and talk with NFL teams and trying to find a place to go for training camp?
Yeah, no, I was really, really excited to see you, Sierra. Got that opportunity and hoping some more from the from our team as well, getting that opportunity. But, yeah, right now it's interesting time frame with, you know, how we were in the playoffs and we weren't able to go to the OTAs as, you know, there were other guys who didn't make the playoffs who were actually able to work out and then get signed from there. But now it's just, you know, really getting ready for that mid-July whenever everybody's back in the office for camps, starting up and then being ready to get signed throughout there as well.
Ben, this is really cool, man. Happy for you that you got that experience. And best of luck to you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me today.
You got it. You got Ben Bresnahan of the UFL's DC Defenders. How about that experience? And by the way, it sounds like they were just hanging out. Because Luke Combs hangs out with those dudes all the time.
Sure.
Taylor Swift dates one of them.
Uh-huh.
And so they're like, well, there's a stage. There's people. There's 1,200 people here. Let's just go do some songs.
I've told the story a million times on air before, but similar environment when I saw Prince in Miami, where it's just a small club full of, you know, it's like 500 people, and he's just like, why don't I just play for 90 minutes and crush it?
You know what it makes me think of, honestly, is the comedian guest set.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm Taylor Swift, and that's a microphone. Uh-huh. So do you want me to strum a few chords? You know, that happens all the time. We're like,
yep.
I was going to do a set, but so-and-so dropped into the Laugh Factory tonight. So.
Yeah, swing by, and there's Chris Rock. Whoopsie-daisy. Yeah. I guess he's going on. Hit that Wizard sounder, please. Our guy Josh Robbins covers the Wizards for The Athletic. Josh, make sense of it. What happened in the draft? How did it end up that Trey Johnson was there at 6? And what do we make of the selection?
Well, if Ace Bailey had been there at 6, I suspect the Wizards would have drafted him. However, having said that, Trey Johnson is the best shooter in the draft, and he's probably right now the best shooter on the Wizards roster without ever playing an NBA game. So they have finally a prospect who immediately has an exceptional offensive ability. For the most part, over the last 2 years, none of the people who they've drafted came into the league with elite offensive skill right off the bat. He is the exception. He's got that skill.
And Josh, to that point, I said earlier, this is the most excited I've been by one of their draft picks in a long time. When do you think they drafted someone this exciting? I mean, to me, this is much more needle mover. I know Sarr is maybe a better prospect or whatever at 2 overall, but like he's not going out and filling. He's not going to accidentally score 25 or maybe have a 40-point game this year if everything, you know, the stars align. Like, when was the last time you think they drafted a player that could be this exciting?
Oh, now that's another great question. I was trying to go back in my sleep-addled brain here to answer it. I'd say Bradley Beal in terms of electric scoring. Now, he's not Bradley Beal. He's not there as a prospect. He's not that high, but he's probably the best scoring prospect they've drafted since him.
What do we make?
You have reason to be excited.
Sorry, Josh, you mean to jump in there. They move around the board at the 18 spot, move back to 21. What do we make of Will Riley there? And there were a couple guys they turned down that, you know, I think some folks liked. Look at Miami drafting his teammate there right before Riley goes. Just what do we make of what they did there from 18 and then to 21?
So as they were on the getting close to being on the clock at 18 and certainly finalizing that trade, Will Riley was going to be their guy at 18. But they also had some intel that told them Riley would be available at 21 for certain. They were all but certain about that. So they decided to trade back, get three extra second-round picks, including one tonight, which I suspect they're going to try to turn into a pick down the line. Who is he? Well, he's a 6'8 wing who has some really smart offensive skills. He has a great feel for the game. He doesn't defend well. At least that's what the book is on him. And in that sense, he is undervalued in the way that Keyshawn George last year was undervalued. But the Wizards saw value in him, and he exceeded their expectations. So I think that is the hope here with Will Riley, that the whole rest of the league undervalued him, and the Wizards see something in him that the rest of the league does not.
Talking Wiz draft ahead of round two tonight with Josh Robbins of The Athletic. So then dive deeper into tonight. You said you think maybe they end up adding another piece in the future. What does that look like, and what's their plan here in round two?
Well, I think they're going to be shopping that pick. Perhaps to move up, maybe to move back and add an additional second-round pick. I can't tell you for sure, but if they remain on the clock where they are, I think they're at 43 now, it's very possible that's a draft and stash candidate because they are so young now. And they're already going into this with two first-round picks. Last year they had three first-round picks, and then midseason they added 20-year-old A.J. Johnson. There is such a thing as being a little too young, and it would not surprise me that they either trade back, trade out of the second round entirely, or go with a draft and stash guy who is overseas.
Josh, really appreciate the insight, my friend. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. That's Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Hit that national sounder. My God, that's Bobby Blanco's music. Bobby, they had a lot of innings to score, and they didn't last night. Mackenzie Gore has a terrible record, but, man, he's pitched pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the record for a starting pitcher, Danny, as you know, is just something that you shouldn't really go too much on. And Mackenzie's getting one of those seasons where he is one of the best pitchers in the National League, should be an all-star, but just doesn't have the wins to show for it. And, you know, I think some of the Nationals hitters took – kind of the blame of that last night after that outing. They only managed three hits. They didn't play to run. They didn't take a single at-bat with a runner in scoring position in that loss to the Padres to drop that series. And, you know, especially now the universal DH, that's not McKenzie's fault. McKenzie pitched as good as you could against one, period, but two, against a tough lineup like the Padres have. That's a game that the Nationals need to come away with a win. I'm sure they're kicking themselves that they didn't provide more run support for him because every 5 days, essentially, that he takes the mound, they have a really darn good chance to win, but his record just hasn't shown that they've been able to do that.
Which of their three hits was your favorite yesterday? The Young bunt single in the sixth, the Cole single to center in the fifth, or the Lyle single to right in the third, right before he got picked off? Which one did you like best?
I know you're doing a bit, and I saw your ranking on Twitter, but like I actually think the Jacob Young bunt single was my favorite because. That's something I think Jacob needs to do a little more often. And we know his offense hasn't come around too much this season. Get some bunt singles down. Get into your groove. Get in the scoring position for this team. I think that's where he's most valuable.
All right. I actually think that is the right answer.
Yeah, actually, the most fun. I would recommend doing that one again. The bunt single. Just bunt the ball every now and again.
All
when
three
not hitting.
Hits were really good. Hey, I want to work this in really quick, Danny.
Yeah.
So part of the reason I wanted to get Bobby on was because I think he broke the story today that Travis Sikora is getting bumped up to AA. Sikora has been at Wilmington just dominating A-plus hitters. He's not being tested in any way. He's got some of the most dominant stats we've seen among minor league pitching in years. 40 innings, 70 strikeouts, and like 15 hits given up. this season with an ERA barely over one and an average against that's well under 100. So I bring this up to ask you, number one, like what do we need to know about the promotion to AA? But also, what does this mean for the timeline? It seems like they're hitting the gas pedal here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Travis was just absolutely dominant at high A. I actually wondered if they were going to, early on in the season, have him skip it altogether. I know the Nationals do that for their hitters because the Wilmington ballpark is just not hitter-friendly. So they decided to send him there anyways. Obviously, he's a pitcher, and he just completely shoved. I mean, like you mentioned the stats. He, you know, struck out 47 over 29, almost 30 innings, only walked 8, only gave up 4 runs and 12 hits in 6 starts. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. So, yeah, he'll be going up to AA Harrisburg. I don't think he's there quite yet, but he'll be, like, scheduled to make his first start for them early next week. I think they're in Altoona. I think they play 3 games at Altoona and then come home and play 3 games against them next week. So it'll be sometime next week, his first AA start. And, yeah, for his timeline, he's just shoving everywhere he goes. I mean, he is only 21 years old. He was drafted 2 years ago out of high school. But he's been one of the fastest rising prospects, not just in the national system, but in all of minor league baseball. I mean, he is catching the national attention of some, you know, minor league baseball eyes because of how well he's pitched over these last 2 full seasons, already reaching double A as a 21-year-old. If he pitches really well, I mean, we saw it. They gave him 6 starts in a high A and said that's enough. So if he pitches really well again over 6, 7, 8 starts at a Harrisburg, you know, we could see him finishing the season at Rochester, testing his stuff there. I know people want to see him at the major league level by the end of the season. I mean, it would depend how the Nationals themselves are situated at the end of the season in September. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but with the way this guy's been pitching, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for him, including this year.
Bobby, super quick, you mentioned where they're situated. It's 81 games played for the team, right at the halfway mark. They're now in 5th place, which is last in the East, 5th worst record overall in baseball. Just kind of give me a state of the union here.
Yeah, I mean, they're on pace now to only win 66 games this year, and that's going to be, what, a 5-game, you know, fewer than they've won the past 2 years. So they need to have a strong second half. I mean, and that starts, you know, not just after the All-Star break, but these next couple weeks leading up to it. I know they got a tough schedule, 3 games in Anaheim this weekend before they come home to face the Tigers, who have the best record in the majors. But, yeah, they need to start playing, you know, legit baseball, because otherwise, you know, especially with all the talk, you know, after they got to 71 wins 2 years ago, that was a huge leap. And then, you know, I think that you can say they improved last year, even though they won the same amount of games. But then entering spring training, all the talk of them being better this year, here to compete, here to win now, play meaningful games in September, and then now you're on pace to win 5 fewer games, that's not going to be a good look for this team. So I don't think you can point to too many positives if they only win 66, 67 games. They need to have a really strong second half, and that starts tomorrow night in Anaheim.
Bobby, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Enjoy the night off from Nats baseball. Not just Bobby who covers them, but you guys as fans.
Here we go.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Nothing? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did the D.C. City Council lie? Or do we have ourselves a good old-fashioned semantics debate? How upset should we be with yesterday's news that the stadium may be removed from a budget being voted on in the coming weeks? That's next on Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to help you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We are Grant and Danny. Welcome back. This is The Fan. So, Danny, yesterday, story broke via the Examiner initially in town. Maybe some others had it after that. I'm not sure. But the gist being that the D.C. City Council has suggested the possibility of taking the stadium out of the proposed budget that needs to be voted on next month. That would mean kicking the can down the road. Now, that's very different than saying no to the stadium or not ever voting on the stadium. Everybody is still saying they're going to do the deal eventually. Not this deal, a deal. But eventually, it's good for the city. We're going to come around. We're going to do this. That's what they're saying. We had a council member, Zachary Parker, in that chair late last week say this. We've had many others on the air say this. But Phil Mendelson, I'll just read from the Examiner, who's the council of the District of Columbia, proposed separating the bill, approving the new Commander's Stadium from Mayor Muriel Bowser's budget legislation, which is expected to face a vote on July 15th. On Friday, Mendelson introduced a standalone bill called the RFK Center Campus Redevelopment Act of 2025 to give Washington, D.C. lawmakers time to review the legislation. So they want more time, and they need to move forward with the budget. They feel like they're being pressured into saying yes to have this involved with the budget. Here's the problem I have with that. Literally 2 weeks before that, Mendelson tweeted, despite reporting to the contrary, there are no plans to take the RFK funding out of the budget. In fact, I have said explicitly that the funding will be cabined, in other words, protected. Now, when he says, and said in interviews simultaneously on TOP and some other places, that they are not going to take the stadium out of the budget, I took that to mean that it will be part of what gets voted on in July ultimately because it's going to be part of this budget. Mark Seagraves of NBC4, in a story I could read to you, suggested, he was the one that broke the news, they're going to take this out of the budget, I'm hearing. And they made a big deal and said, no, we're not, that report is wrong, and now they're taking it out of the budget 2 weeks later. So my question to you, and we talked about this before the show a lot, and never
it's
really
dizzying.
Came to a resolution, but I guess if anybody out there who is a smart person would like to weigh in on this and answer this for me, I'm all ears, starring J.P. Finley on NBC4. 800-636-1067. My question to you is, did they lie or is this a matter of semantics? I believe they said they were not going to do the thing that it sounds like they're trying to do. They're not going to take the stadium out of the budget that they're voting on in July. That is what I heard when they said, call me crazy, contrary to popular reporting, there are no plans to take the RFK funding out of the budget. And then 2 weeks later, they're taking the RFK funding out of the budget. But your point is, well, they're just saying that they're still setting aside $1.1 billion for funding, but it's not going to be in the budget, and they didn't actually lie. It's the semantics of I'm viewing the money that they're setting to the side as you know, not in the budget, and they are basically.
Yeah. So again, I find this dizzying, exhausting. I'm not that mad at you.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty simple. I think they said something 2 weeks ago, and they're doing the opposite now, and it annoys me.
He said, so talking about is Mendelsohn, we're not taking the funding out, and they're not, as I understand it. Like, the money is in, now, until they do that, then I guess I would say, I don't know that they've lied. I don't know why you'd go into these semantics games instead of just being up front, because your initial complaint, by the way, I think is a decent one, going, we didn't see any of this until now. The only numbers we have are provided by advocates for this thing. We don't really consider those great numbers. We want to do some studying on it. I think that's a very reasonable position to have for anybody, right? Any lawmaker, you're doing your due diligence. If that's your answer to something, people might get mad, but that's a pretty good answer. That's a pretty good comeback to anything that people have. So I don't know why you would have made any kind of declarative statement, and now we've got to do a semantic sort of like endless tailspin to figure out what take out of the budget means, or take funding out versus removing versus carving out. It's not why we're here. It's not very fun, to be honest with you. It's not a great discussion in terms of us both going, well, I'm not really sure what they mean. I think it means this, but it could mean that. I mean, to me, he said, going back to the initial quote, talking about Mendelsohn, we're not taking the funding out of the budget. He reiterates that the funding is still there. So in his mind, he'll probably go, yeah, I'm not lying. I'm not doing anything different than I said. But the reality is you're separating things.
Nobody has suggested that the funding is going away. In other words, nobody thought that when they said that they might do this, or the report that Seagraves of NBC4 had was not, they're never going to vote for the stadium, they're not going to keep $1 billion laying around for the stadium, that they're saying no to the stadium. Nobody thought that. The point is, they're voting on the 2026 budget on July 15th. Are you going to be voting on the stadium then or not? Because if not, there's no rush. They casually said fall. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Parker was sitting in that chair right there. He was very impressive. I really liked him, actually. He told us Friday, whatever day that was, in studio, that they're going to vote in the fall. Is that September 5th? Is that November 9th? I mean, that means nothing. By the way, the team is saying, and they put out a statement yesterday on this, we don't have the luxury to wait until the fall. We need to confirm with whether or not we're able to go chase down the Women's World Cup so we can start to make some of the money back that you guys are so worried about us making back. We've got the ability to sign up for things and to get on lists that we miss out on if we don't open in 2030, which is their beginning and end of their story. They want to be open in 2030. And every month that you push this back, when they feel like they've got to break ground in 2026, I know that's true, when their number one, everything that every meeting they have, everything that they do starts with, we have told our fans and fully expect, we've told our players and everybody, we will be in a new stadium in 2030. We're working back from that. If you can't deliver on that, then we got to talk to somebody else. I mean, that's where they are essentially on this. And they think that DC can and should deliver. We got a poll of the day right now, by the way, on Twitter. It's the 106.7 The Fan account, our Grant and Danny Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. This is a good one, actually. It's presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best in class service and experience. What is your assessment of how the DC City Council has handled the RFK Stadium situation so far? A, doing their due diligence, doing their jobs. B, botching a great opportunity. Or C, it's too early to tell. Early on, 60% are saying they're botching a really good opportunity. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline right now and welcome in our buddy Eric Flack of Channel 9, an award-winning reporter in town, has been all over this story. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, sponsor of our hotline. So, Eric, when I say they lied or that 2 weeks ago they told us something different than what they're doing, is that fair to say it that way?
I mean, so it depends on where you're standing. I mean, I think they're backtracking. I think Mendelsohn could argue, look, let me not mince words as much as politicians would mince words. I think lie is strong because I think situations can change. They are doing the opposite of what they said they were going to do. Now, you may call that a lie, but in my opinion,
that's a bad prediction.
I'm going to say that to my wife tonight. Why did you lie about that? I didn't lie.
I just said the opposite of what I was going to do.
I just did the opposite of what I told you I was going to do.
You see?
Oh, my God. It sounds as ridiculous as it did when it came out of my mouth. But they are doing the opposite of what they said they were going to do. And whether that's because, you know, they would argue that the budget process has been more difficult than they expected, or whether Mendelsohn would acknowledge that he has kind of been convinced by the council members who wanted to do this back when he issued that statement and when they were having that closed door meeting talking about this, he's finally come around. But, you know, here's where I would draw the distinction, and it might be a distinction without a difference, but lying means at the time Mendelsohn knew 2 weeks later, whereas we're standing here right now, that he was going to in fact introduce this piece of legislation to pull it to separate.
It's a great point, but let me just say, Eric, that the reason he was asked about it at the time was that there was a report, I wouldn't be a colleague, but by one of your, you know, fellow reporters. And Mark Seagraves, suggesting that they were already doing it. So it's not like it was out of thin air, you know, that he reported this is what they want to do. They came out and blasted it and said, no, we don't. And 2 weeks later, now they're suggesting that's what they might do. So at worst, it kind of looks suspicious, I would say. But let me ask you this about the fall vote. It is very clear to me when I talk to people with the team that 2030 is the beginning of the story. That is a flag in the ground, we've got to be opening our stadium in 2030 situation. And they believe the fall, for a lot of reasons, makes it very hard to do that. So when Parker sat in here and said, we can vote in the fall, and I don't necessarily know how you can say that, when you won't accept this deal, you're going to accept a deal that isn't available and on the table yet, but you think you can come to some agreement on a new deal, even though the team hasn't agreed to it, so whatever. But is there a date like July 15th is when they vote, and then they have another vote again October 15th? Or is that just a vague thing, like fall time, we'll get around to a deal?
Well, I mean, no, I think that's a vague thing. And I was told that the issue would be dragging out into September, which is also not cool with the Commanders. The Commanders are saying that they need it done at the latest in August to meet all these deadlines. Now, I was told by one council member that, you know, I think he's telling me that there's a possibility it drags out into September. But, you know, the idea that it drags all the way out into October seems a little bit unnecessary. And, you know, a lot of this seems unnecessary to a lot of people. But, you know, certainly one would think that once they get past the budget, they can. Focus on the stadium deal. And I think there's questions among council members just how serious this timeline is, the Commander. And I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying they are sorting this out in their own minds. How legitimate this idea that if they take a couple extra months to go through this deal, that it's going to cost, you know, opening dates and bids on Women's World Cup. And I know that it doesn't mean they think the Commanders are bluffing. I think council members just have not been convinced and just don't know for sure.
So let me ask you this then. Eric Flack, award-winning reporter from Channel 9, is with us on Grant and Danny. I actually think that's a great point. And calling their bluff probably is good practice from them because they want to be in D.C., as you know and I know, way more than they want to be in Maryland, right? So totally get all that. I guess my question is, if, like, from the team's perspective, okay, they may even tell you privately, if it was done, they don't want this, but if it was done in September, no problem. But just the idea of, we think we'll have a deal in the fall, but you saw, where was the thing you sent us from today? Was that the Post, where all of the council members said what they need, and somebody wants, you know, former criminals, like, working on the project, and there's all these different little things that everybody wants. It's a different deal. So how can you guarantee you'll have a deal in the fall? It's like me saying, like, we're going to get married in the fall, but we're not engaged yet. And someone else has to say yes. Does that make any sense?
1,000%. And what I'm saying is that this is, somebody just asked me, like, how big is the threat level? And I think we're still at a 5 or a 6, but my corollary to that is that the threat level is growing every day. As the Commanders get, you know, their backup about this, and obviously frustration on the Commanders' part about all this, understandably, and as council members kind of get more and more involved, and it's kind of like you two friends who started out like with a plan to do something really cool, and then they start like bickering about stuff, and then all of a sudden they're actually fighting about it, and they're like, how did we get here? And that's kind of like where it seems like we're going. It's like everybody kind of seemed like they were on the same page. And then, you know, one side is like, we need to take some time. And the other side is like, but we don't have any time. And then people are like, well, you know what? this deal isn't good enough, darn it. And then the other side is like, well, but I mean, the deal is really, really good and it's going to be good for the city. And now all of a sudden we're asking, you know, I mean, check out council member Robert White's TikTok right now. Have Darius do that for you. You guys will see an interesting video he just posted about some of the things that he wants. Out of the deal.
Can you give us some cliff notes?
What if you didn't want to go on a TikTok? What would happen?
Just, you got to watch it for yourself.
Damn it, okay. Eric.
I have not been on TikTok.
I can't go any farther than that. I will. That's a tease for you.
Does anyone work? We have young people.
People are here. They'll take care of
TikTok
it.
TikTok account.
Darius is on TikTok.
I'm actually not on TikTok. I'm not a TikTok guy.
Ryan or Toby?
Is Ryan Clary in today?
He is. You got TikTok?
But he's corporate, though.
Clary says he's got TikTok. We're good.
We'll fix it.
I'm going to go on Robert White's TikTok. He just posted a creative video about what he wants done with the new stadium.
Creative TikTok video? Who does he think he is? Running for mayor of New York or something?
Here we go.
Are you watching it?
Not yet, no.
No.
We got to go in the other room. It's going to be a whole thing.
Anyway, but my point is that a lot of people are going to start coming with a lot of different asks, and things are going to get complicated. So, you know, but are the Commanders really going to back out now? I mean, are they not in for a penny, in for a pound as much as D.C. is? Like, where do they go from here? How much negotiating power do they have? I'm asking you guys, you know? I mean, that's where I kind of, like, they can stop their fist and stop their feet all they want and say, like, if you don't hurry up, we're going to what?
They're going to build in Maryland.
Turn this car around?
Come on.
I'm telling you. I don't think it's as crazy as people think.
So I do think it's as crazy as people think. I'm people in that situation.
No, I'm not saying as unpopular as people think. I'm saying as crazy. Everyone will hate it until you open a ridiculously awesome stadium where you can actually tailgate and actually, something that's a major issue. You won't be at FedEx Field anymore, which is the number one priority.
I will say this. I mean, I don't know if you guys are running out of time. I will say this. Josh Harris spent years trying to build the downtown basketball arena that I went out and reported on, and it was going to revitalize downtown Philly, and it was like the same sort of principles as the stadium, and it became such a mess that they ended up getting like right at the point where it started going through a council, and he got the support of the mayor, and they got like almost to the finish line that he just changed at the last second, and now they're building their new arena out at Wells Fargo, where the next to the old one, but there's all these aspects of Philadelphians that don't like change. So they didn't want their arena downtown. They just wanted it where the rest of the ballparks are. And so that's what he's doing. But I mean, there is a history of Harris, like changing at the last second and doing something like that. So even though I don't believe it's reasonable, like there is past precedent for them putting a lot of effort into something, including the same sort of public relations campaigns as they're doing with this stadium, and then saying, you know what, forget about it. We're just going to go do this other thing.
Eric, so, you're the best. Thanks, buddy. Eric, we got to run. Be good. There's our guy, Eric Flack. Check him out on Channel 9. There's also some history of the D.C. City Council sitting on their hands for a while, and then when a team almost goes somewhere else saying, actually, never mind, we found some money, you can stay. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
In 10 minutes, I'm fired up about this. 5 o'clock, Fran Fraschilla, who was forever on the NBA draft coverage. I don't know why he's not anymore, I think, because they don't really want any NBA draft analysis.
Too insightful.
Like football, basketball breakdowns on the NBA draft coverage is not really the goal anymore. So he's not on the coverage anymore. But he had some great threads last night on social with his breakdowns of different players. And he specializes in players from outside the states. But he got some thoughts on what the Wizards did. So we'll talk to Fran coming up at 5 o'clock. That'll be really, really good. We want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067. Our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day is about the D.C. City Council and how they're operating so far. I actually think, even though it doesn't quite sound like it, Danny, like I am leaning toward of late botching a great opportunity, but I've mostly been in the doing their due diligence phase of this. I think the idea that they can't get a vote in July, I just categorically disagree with. I think if they really wanted to and wanted to move quickly, as much as the Commanders are willing to answer the call at all hours of the night and their desperation and the mayor's involvement right now, I think they could, and they just, that's not on their to-do list at this moment, and there's still some politics of them being angry about being left out of the conversation. But in the poll, are they doing their due diligence? Are they botching an opportunity, or is it too early to tell? Where would you vote?
I said due diligence. Now, again, this assumes everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, and I don't know that everyone is all the time. But to me, the only numbers we have are numbers from the advocate side. In other words, when you see things like economic impact studies, those are sponsored by a consulting firm from the people that want the thing done, and then they point to that as expertise. Those are nonsense. They use pie-in-the-sky numbers where you'll have 500,000 people spending an average of $600 per day attend this site, even when there's no game. It's nonsense. It's you know, a fairy dust type stuff. So they should want to have study numbers. Those things take time to have real smart people independently contracted to look at these things and figure it out and what's a good deal, what's not, what's economically viable, how much could they charge in rent instead of a dollar to the team for a year for however many years and still have the team make money, but they make money too. And, you know, getting being able to pay off the bonds, pay off the things that they're having to borrow. These are complicated hundreds of millions, billions of dollar decisions that aren't to be taken lightly. You should take some time to be able to digest those things. So that to me is, if that's really what's happening, very, very reasonable for them to do, even if it's frustrating in terms of a timeline that isn't shared by us as sports fans and the team.
Yeah, totally agree with pretty much everything you just said, with the exception being that enough people have suggested to me if they wanted to get this done, they have plenty of time to do it. I believe that. Like, you know what works quickly? the government when it needs to.
Yeah, urgency.
You know, like when you have to get something done, you do. And right. I don't think they, and half is the wrong word.
No, I think but, that's fair. So my quick counter to that is I don't think they feel the urgency well, that the team is trying to outlay to
they
them.
Certainly don't. They've right. made that pretty obvious. I guess the bigger question is, though, were they misleading when they suggested that they weren't going to take the stadium deal out of the budget, and now it sounds like they're trying to do that so they can vote without it in July? Let's go to Dave in D.C. on Grant and Denny. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, see, you everybody was giddy because they heard what they wanted to hear, right? And everybody was excited. You guys overlooked the facts. The other day, my wife asked me, would I fix the sprinklers on today? And I told her I see no reason why that shouldn't be possible. Damn.
Have you fixed the sprinklers?
Are those sprinklers fixed, sir?
That was then. Yeah, I put in my own sprinkler system.
Oh,
yeah, so that was then. So he said, we don't plan on taking it out. He didn't say they wouldn't. He left wiggle room so that he could get out of it without lying. He said he didn't plan on it. That was completely fair.
Let's see. The quote is, despite reporting to the contrary, there are no plans. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like saying when you're reporting that a guy's signing, the first thing you learn as a reporter is not to say, I'll just make up a name, but that Eddie Royal is signing.
Why'd you pick that name?
With the Redskins. You would say expected to sign, anticipates. It couches it for you, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the last question you just asked was, do you think they're botching it or if you think they're doing due diligence? Then Danny gave you two answers on both sides of his mouth. The last answer was, I don't think they see it as being urgent. So if they don't see it as being urgent, it's not because they're doing due diligence. It's because they don't see it as being urgent. Therefore, it's not important to them, which would make it a botch.
Well, that's a good point.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because your first point was they're doing their due diligence.
Well, no.
But if it's not urgent and I'm on his side, then they're wrong.
Let me try to let me be clear, to borrow a parlance from many famous folks. If they're actually doing what they say they're doing, it's very reasonable for a city council, for a group of decision makers, to actually do due diligence.
Right.
So I don't know that they are or not. But
my question, though, to that is, and there's no answer. It's rhetorical.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take? Because they're acting like the idea that in a month, if they actually prioritized,
mm-hmm.
that we could figure this out. The most important thing that the city's going to build, the most important investment, the largest private investment into the city in history, all of these things, that a month isn't enough time if you get everyone on the same page to add and subtract and tweak. I don't know what I don't know, but it seems like that's a lot of time. They're acting like they need four of those.
Right. So, I don't know either. I'm not on a city council. I don't have to review budgets or economic studies. But in theory, you don't just go, hey, can I get a smart economist? You're actually like request for proposals to actually pay some money to do a study. And that takes time.
But there's also, though, and I don't know if this is them or the mayor, and I'm not far enough into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how much of like a blank check I give them. We talk all the time about like a, you know, GMs that does a great job, you give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only municipality ever that screwed up gambling and wasn't able to make money off of it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like that's why I say if they're doing what they say they're doing, I give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think they are.
Awful batting average.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Josh Bell with getting hits.
Mm-hmm.
Fran Francilla on the NBA draft next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.